Dear Lord, our hearts are filled with joy and gratitude for your love and awareness of your constant provision for us. In our need, we trust you to keep us in the way you see fit. Come into our presence today and fill each heart with the knowledge of your presence and with the true peace that comes only from knowing you. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 115, O Come, Emmanuel. Please stand.
One heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
seated.
It's time for the children's story. So if you would like to come up and hear a story, children of all ages are welcome. Anybody under 50 can come up, sit on the stage if you want. All right, 55 if you want, it's fine. Well, good morning, everybody. Who here has ever been to camp meeting? So do other people know what camp meeting is? Camp meeting is the most awesome thing in the whole world. And when I was about, I think, 5, maybe 6, my mom and dad said, "We're going to camp meeting." I was like, "Well, what's camp meeting?" I said, no, camp meeting is wicked awesome. That's how we say it back east. You get to go camping for 10 days, and you go to church every single one of those 10 days. Really? Church 10 days in a row? Well, kind of, pretty much. But the bottom line was we got to spend time with tons and tons of kids our own age doing religious activities. That sounded like a lot of fun. But the part that sounded the most fun was I was going to get reacquainted with someone that I had known when I was really little, younger than 5. He was my best friend, and his name was Harry. His mom and dad were from Germany, and they called him Holly, but we called him Harry. So we got to camp meeting, and my mom said, okay, after your class, wait there, and Harry will come and get you. I'm so excited. So I waited and waited. And I said, well, wait, mom, what does Harry look like? My mom said, oh, it's really easy. He has blonde hair. I was like, okay, cool. I said, wait a minute, mom. There's lots of kids that have blonde hair. She's like, oh, he has blue eyes. I was like, okay, blue eyes. I said, mom, there's lots of people that have blonde hair and blue eyes. I mean, look at all you guys that have blonde hair and blue eyes. It could have been any one of you guys. She goes, oh, here it is. Harry has blonde hair, blue eyes, and dark skin. Ooh, dark skin. That'll set him apart. So I waited. Oh, and she goes, and he has a German accent, too. So I waited and waited after class, and all these kids were coming by, and they all had blonde hair and blue eyes. And then this dude comes blasting through the room. Are you Chris? Yeah. Come on, we gotta go. Are you Harry? Yeah. What are we doing? We're running away from the girls. Oh, I was in. So totally in. So Harry took off and he was running. Well, I was running like this. He looked back at me and goes, you can't run away from girls like this. You gotta run like this, back and forth. I was like, how come? He goes, oh, because if you come on girls, you gotta be like ditched behind tents. And if you're running straight, you'll miss it. Okay. So for like the rest of the morning, we ran all around camp meeting like this. And it was good. And when it would show up, we would ditch behind tents and we would hide. And they didn't even know we were there. It was so cool. We totally avoided them all day. And then later in that day, he said, oh, look at this totally cool place we got to go. It was a wicked awesome place we got to go. We went to the place where they stored the mattresses. Now, you guys, you know, this is great. It's this warehouse. And they've got a stack of mattresses this high, and a stack of mattresses like that high, and another stack of mattresses this high. And we climbed the mattresses. Boom! You know, we just did that for hours. It was wicked awesome. And then, after that, you can imagine we were really thirsty. So Harry showed me how to go to the snack shop and wait in the back, and the lady would come out and give us chocolate milk. That was really cool, too. Well, that night, Harry's house, and we put on our zip pajamas. You guys have those? With the feet on them? Those are wicked awesome, too. And Harry's house had a really long hallway. And we'd start at one end, get to Harry's room, then, you know, by Harry's room, by Sonia's room, boom, into Sylvia's room. I would fall down. And we'd do that over and over and over again. And it was so fun. And from that day forward, for years and years and years, Harry was my best friend. But it's all about how did I recognize Harry? And year after year, we would go to camp meeting, and I would wait for the kid with blonde hair, blue eyes, and dark skin. And those were the signs that it was Harry. Now, in the Bible, there was somebody who was special born about this time of year. Who do you think it was? It was Jesus. And there was people looking for Jesus. And there were special signs that showed it was Jesus. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story because Pastor Dennis is going to do that. But remember, there are special signs that show us with Jesus. And we want to be ready. We want to know what those signs are. Bow your heads real quick. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving us, for dying for us, and coming to earth for us. Help us to recognize the signs and be able to tell you when you come again for us. In thy name, amen. Okay.
Morning and happy Sabbath. For those of you that didn't catch it, my name is Joseph Alexander Hearn. I'm currently a freshman at Andrews University, and I just came home for Christmas break. And this is my little brother, James. He's currently a sophomore in high school. And we've been asked by Mr. Swanson to bring you a blessing this morning in song. And our first song is based on the Gospel of Luke, and which I will read to you right now. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
At the same time, it's also part of the song. It's also based on the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And then it continues. You know, when Herod sends the wise men away, he tells them to come back so he can worship him. But once they left, it continues in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until they stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the song is based on these gospels. We hope you enjoy it.
Look up, fear not, the angel said. Behold, the Messiah's come, the one of whom you've read. And as they spoke to men that day, the heavenly host around the throne joined in to say, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announced his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. And still today the wise men come, offering their praise to God's anointed one.
And as they spoke, their hearts.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announced his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen.
And still today the wise men come, offering their praise to God's anointed one.
We're sorry.
Sorry about that. Sorry. What happened? Huh? Okay. Sorry about this. Something happened with the track, so what could we do? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Purple? The one in the purple case. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no here. I have an idea.
No one sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. I will never know just why he came to save me, till one day I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
So guys, remember back over at CME basketball court at the summer camps? This is nothing like that, right? And from one musician to another, that's sometimes the tracks don't work and we do the best that we can and God still hears the blessing and the people understand where it's coming from your heart. So thank you guys. So this morning's offering, church, is thinking about the reason for the season and what they were pointing us to in Jesus. Is that our church has a way, in an organized fashion, to be able to reach out to those in need. And I think that this is a good time of year to reflect on that and remember the importance of it. And that organized way is called Adventist Community Services. Our pantry is sort of a localized version of that, where we help those in need in Ventura County area. But our church does that in particular, in times such as, you know, Katrina in New Orleans, or the internationally speaking, the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. Those are just illustrations of where funds that are given are able to be deployed in an effective manner. And so as we think about those in need when we are enjoying gift giving in this special time of year that it is, I ask you to consider as you prepare your tithes and your offerings this morning to be able to give. Just mark your tithe envelope for Adventist Community Services. And then two other quick things. Loose offering, of course, is for our church budget. And also there's just a little bit, probably less than $1,000 left on our project for our church sign out in the front that is going to be completed very soon. And we're about 2 weeks, Pastor says, so we're excited about having that. So if you'll bow your heads with me and the deacons, please stand. We'll pray and ask God's blessing on our giving this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love for us and for the example of these young men's dedication to singing your praises, but especially now as we reach in to give back to you what is already rightfully yours. We ask that you'll give us cheerful hearts that love you and want to respond to your love for us in giving of our tithes and our offerings. We pray your forgiveness, and we thank you for blessing this offering now and the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that they said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now he was dead and gone. The garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. But she knew it was true,
she watched him die too.
She heard them call him just a man.
But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Now
shadows vanished before the sun.
Good morning. Colleen's going to read to us.
The scripture for today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Would you join me in kneeling before our Lord in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for those that lead this church. And thank you for the special music that you brought to us this morning. I know it has blessed every heart. Lord, I'd ask that you would bring a special blessing to those in this congregation who are not here today because of illness or because of travel or because of other reasons. Touch their hearts, Lord, and let them know that they're loved. Lord, I ask your special blessing on everyone at this congregation today. Let your words touch us through Dennis. And let us go and share the light and the love of your Son with those that we meet every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This next song is, we just tried it out right now in the back, and it sounds pretty good, so we'll get as far as we can. So far, it sounded pretty well, so it looks very promising. So without further ado, oh, what a savior.
Oh, hallelujah. leaping waters. One of these days I'll be crossing, but I'll not fear, for his hand will lead me. It's gonna lead me safe on. Then I'll join that chorus in the great city. I'm gonna sing.
Joseph and James, you didn't know what my sermon title was today, did you? This is the one. He is our Savior, isn't he? Thank you for blessing us with your music this morning. I'll tell you what, I am so proud of my church family. They are an incredible and wonderful group of people. And there's a group that I'd like to invite up to join me up here on the platform this morning. And they're our junior division. Where's the junior division this morning? Zach, where are you? Bring all the juniors up this morning. Are they still doing offering? All right, somebody go tell the deacon he needs to speed it up, the treasurer. We need Zachary here this morning and the juniors. Come on up, juniors. Here he comes. Michelle, he's here. Hopefully she heard me out there. All right, come on up. All of the juniors, I need all of you up here because you have something to share with us. And I forgot to bring the mics up, but I can take care of that. I have mine, so. On this table up here are some structures, right? How many of you built one of these? Okay. So they can all tell me what and why they built these and what are they. I'm looking down here. You can't see this. I need a camera right here. But it says Bible Neighborhood. on this end and this end. So this is a Bible neighborhood. What is this all about?
Well, we wanted to know what the difference was between a neighborhood and a community. And we realized that we had all these houses and churches and stuff, but we didn't have any people.
Oh. So you don't have a neighborhood without... You have a neighborhood.
But we don't have a community without
people. But you don't have a community. So how did you fix the problem?
Well, we put people in there.
Oh. Okay, explain that a little bit to me, because I'm looking... Yeah. People in there.
Like, we put flags.
Oh, you put flags.
Yeah.
So the flags are the people.
No.
No?
The flags.
See how this works?
Flag stands for something.
Ah.
Like, this one stands for respect. We have respect in our neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So what do the other flags stand for?
Happiness, the park, pets, love, church. Please do not vandalize.
They've got a church in their neighborhood.
Any of
yes.
The houses.
What was that one?
Right there. Please do not vandalize any of the houses. Huh.
Ah. Woo. How impressive is this? Are you proud of your kids? I am expressly and especially proud of our young people. You know, I'm learning a lot from them. And at this time of the year, now when Jesus was born, what kind of house was he born in?
Is it
here?
Mm-mm.
No?
Well, yes, he was. Yeah.
Ah, okay. This was Jesus' house. All right. That doesn't look like a stable.
Mm-mm. Well, Miss Bev made it, so you can go.
Ah. That's why she's playing hooky today, so she doesn't have to explain it. Okay, you'll have to say, how come you weren't here to explain Jesus' house? But aren't we delighted to have a beautiful house here?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it represents both, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That is really awesome. Well, thank you, juniors. Now, what, maybe after church we can take this out and set it in the lobby or something. In fact, why don't you do that as you exit? Go out and put it on the table that's right out behind the wall there.
Okay.
So people can see. And then you can come back and take your seats. Thank you so much. You can go right down the center aisle. Wonderful. You know, I'm feeling right at home. What Rochelle and I miss in our Leisure Village house is a fireplace. Betty and John aren't here today, but actually this is a wedding gift. And we got to use it before it's given away tomorrow, actually. The fireplace, at least. And so I just want to thank Betty and John for helping brighten up our Sabbath morning. So last night when they were getting ready to start, I said, no, just leave it like it is. Because it's kind of like home. Jesus lives here, doesn't he? Where is he right now? Where is he right now? Okay, I saw some of you go just like this. That's where he is, isn't he? And so he's living in each and every one of you this morning. I want to just walk you through a part of post-Christmas. Can I do that? You know, it's interesting that we have another Joseph with us this morning, you know, singing. But the story in here that I want to call your attention to is not about Joseph, but it's about a man named Simeon. You can read it in Luke 2. And Simeon is an interesting man. We have about 5 verses in the Bible that's all we have that I'm aware of, that talk about Simeon. But Simeon came on the scene about 8 days after Jesus' birth. In Luke 2:21, you'll find Jesus being brought by Mary and Joseph for his circumcision and then for his dedication in the temple. And then you discover that a man shows up by the name of Simeon. Yeah, Joseph was there too. But Simeon, you can read about it beginning with verse 25. And here's what it says. It was in our scripture this morning. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means he was waiting for and looking for the Messiah to come. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, if we took no other verses but just that one, we could conclude our time together today, because there's two important principles in this verse that I think are very special and important to all of us. As Christians, what should we be? Just and devout. Would you agree? We should be just and devout. Are we? I would say yes. Because I've gotten to know most of you quite well, and you're there. Just and devout. The second part of this is you're waiting for what? Who to come? For Jesus to come. So we have a lot in common with Simeon, except Simeon was at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And we're now at the end of that time. We should be just as earnest in looking for the consolation of the finished work of Jesus in heaven so he can come back and take us home with him. Would you agree? We must be diligently looking for and seeking. Whose help do we need to make sure we're on track? The Holy Spirit. So isn't that incredible? It's all right there. So to me, this message isn't often talked about around Christmas time. But I think it's a message that we all need to be focusing on. We have much to celebrate. The birth of Jesus is so critical and so important. It was so prophetic. The irony is that only a handful of people were looking for the coming of the Messiah when Jesus arrived on this earth. I think it's just sad that so few were looking for Jesus. But what about our time? There are a lot more people in the world today. Today there are 7 billion people on this earth, and the number is going up. 7 billion. Now, in our lifetime alone, those of us sitting here, it's probably gone from at least 6 to 7 in a relatively short period of time. So, how is Jesus going to wrap it all up? Well, one of the ways is he's going to use you and you and you. He's going to use the juniors. They've put their flag down. Respect. They have houses that are now neighborhoods, not just an empty house sitting there, but a neighborhood. They have people in those houses whose job it is to do what? Share the good news that Jesus is coming. But I digress. Let's go back to Simeon. Simeon, verse 25, and it had been revealed to him. What was so unique about Simeon that it had been revealed to him? What was he doing that we need to be doing so that Jesus' coming will come as no surprise to us? We need to be studying God's Word, don't we? We need to be diligently opening God's Word. We need to be digging deep into God's Word. But Simeon didn't do this alone, because it goes on, it said it had been revealed to him by what? The Holy Spirit. You see, you and I can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to have that. We must have that. Does he come uninvited? No. You have to invite him in. You have to not only give him permission, but you need to request that he come and take up residence in your heart and in your life. Now, Simeon's request was that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. You know, I think back to my dad. My dad was an incredible man who loved Jesus with all of his heart. He was a farmer's farmer. He was a man that could do many, many things. I don't come anywhere close to having the talent or the gifts my dad had. Now, my dad wouldn't necessarily stand up here and preach a sermon, but he did preach sermons in overhauls. Bib overhauls. That was his weekly dress. My dad was known for his bib overhauls. But he was a walking sermon. I once dated a young lady at camp meeting in Soquel. You know where that is? This was when I was in academy and I was looking for a date for Saturday night, so I asked this young lady out. And I went to find dad and mom to check in, get permission, and probably get a dollar or two so that I would be back in time. You know, kids don't follow this example because I was missing the evening meeting. But we went and found dad, and dad's in his suit, looked like any other preacher at that moment. In fact, as we left the campground, the young lady turned to me and said, "What is your dad pastor?" And I said, "Well, what makes you think he's a pastor? I mean, he's tanned, he's..." She must have thought, well, he was a pastor that spent a lot of time on the golf course. And I chuckled and I said, "Well, no, my dad actually is a farmer. He's a trucker. He's a mechanic. He's a this, he's a that. He's a rancher." "Oh, well, he looks like a preacher." So my dad, I was sharing that with him later, and he just smiled. Now, I said to her, though, I said, "Well, if you saw him during the week, you'd probably understand the rest of the story, because he's a bib overhaul man." But what about us? My dad was a preacher in his own right. At his funeral in Hollister, California, at which I had the privilege of now being in ministry and officiated at, the funeral director came up to me and he said, "Dennis, who are all these people that are here?" And I said, "Well, they are friends of my dad. They're family friends. They're business people in this community that dad has done business with. They're fellow farmers that dad has shared his time with during the good times and the bad times. But they knew my dad's character. He was a man of faith, a man of extreme patience, a man who was looking for the consolation of Israel, spiritual Israel, in the coming of Jesus Christ. And his life showed it. I don't ever remember him preaching a sermon, even to us kids, but he lived it. And you do too. Simeon, I think, was one of those men who lived his faith. He walked in the walk that Jesus wanted him to walk. And notice here, it says that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Verse 27, so he came, what's the next few words? By the Spirit, who was working in his life and in his heart? Holy Spirit was. Into the temple. And when he saw the parents who brought Jesus in, he took him, Jesus, the baby Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Have you seen Jesus today? Do you look for Jesus every day? Are you inviting Jesus in to your heart and into your life every day, all day? Simeon recognized Jesus. Now, the sad part of this story is Jesus had just been dedicated by the man who should have known who Jesus was. The spiritual priest there in the temple. Going to church doesn't make you spiritual, does it? No. Going through the routines of church doesn't bring you or assure you of salvation or a relationship with Jesus. You can be a pastor and be lost. That's scary. We, each and every one of us, needs to recognize who Jesus is. Simeon got it. Simeon understood it. Simeon was praying diligently for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on his life, and he was listening, he was learning, and when he saw Jesus, that little baby, he knew who he was. Simeon, I believe, would have loved to have lived in our time, to have had all of the history. But Simeon was content with seeing Jesus as that little baby. And he left praising God after having had the privilege of blessing baby Jesus. Simeon, I invite you today to be a Simeon. And for you ladies, you're not left out of this story either, because in the next few verses, there's a lady by the name of Anna, who was 80-some years old. You know, the interesting thing about our church is we have quite a list of widows, as she was. And so within our church, right here in Camarillo, we have patriarchs and we have matriarchs who have tremendous gifts to share with our juniors, our primary age kids, our kindergarten age kids, our cradle roll age kids, and the moms and dads of all of those kids. There's a wealth of spirituality that is resting in your hearts and in your lives that needs to be tapped. I would encourage you patriarchs and you matriarchs to make known to these young families that you love them and that you're praying for them. They need to hear that from you. Moms and dads of little children, would you appreciate that if they let you know that? How many of you would say, yes, I want that? Well, stand up and let them know who you are. I'm going to call you to it. Let's do it. Stand up, moms and dads. Stay standing. Moms and dads. Grandmas and grandpas. Aunts and uncles. We need your prayers. Do we have your commitment that you're going to be praying for these precious moms and dads that are standing right now? Jesus needs our help. We need the Simeons, we need the Annas to be lifting up our families. You know, this is an incredible time to be alive. There are things happening so rapidly around us on this globe. Jesus is coming, is more imminent than ever. We know that because of time. But the signs are increasing. And if you look in this passage of Scripture, if you go to verse, let me find it here again. I lost my place. Here we go. If we go down, you may sit down, thank you. I just want to make sure they know who they're praying for. All right, where is it here? There's a sign. Here we go, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign, and for a what? A sign which will be spoken against." A sign that will be spoken against. What could he have been talking about in relation to this sign that he was speaking against? Jesus is our rock, isn't he? We must fall upon Jesus, each and every one of us. And we need to be teaching our children the importance of this, that they too need to fall upon Jesus and be totally and completely dependent upon him, lest we fall. And when we fall broken upon the rock, Jesus Christ, we can be uplifted in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be uplifted today? Oh, of course you want to be. But let me rephrase that. Are you uplifted today? Present tense. We not only want to be, but we can be. That's his promise to you and to me. That was his promise to Simeon. So here's what we have to do. We must surrender ourselves to Jesus. Kind of like the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." We must let pride go and become humble servants of Jesus Christ in order for us to know the glory of the spiritual nurturing that we must have to stay ready to meet Jesus and to be a part of the spiritual kingdom he has prepared for you and for me. Are you looking for him to come? You see, the Jewish leaders missed it. They are still missing the Messiah, which is sad. I don't say that critically. I say that very sadly. There's still hope for them as individuals. So what are we doing to reach out to everyone in that community that we saw sitting up here, represented by that little red houses and those flags? That represents our community here in Camarillo, here in Moore Park, here in Simi Valley, here in Oxnard, here in wherever that community is, Thousand Oaks, so that we are ready for Jesus to come. I want to share with you in closing what Ellen White says in The Desire of Ages, page 56. Follow along with me. From the life and death of Christ, the thoughts of men are brought to view. From the manger to the cross, the life of Jesus was a call to what? Self-surrender and to fellowship in suffering. Ouch. It unveiled the purposes of men. Jesus came with what? The truth of heaven. And all who? All who are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit were drawn to him. Does that still apply today? Especially today. In their attitude toward Christ, all would show on which side they stood. And thus, everyone passes judgment on himself. Simeon declared, "This is the one. I declare with you today, he is the one." Let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let's thank him and praise him for his unending love for us.
I asked Joseph and James if they had one more song they could share with us in lieu of the closing hymn. I'd rather hear them than hear me. Okay, come on up, guys. Thank you so much for them being here, too.
Amen.
It makes a difference if I'm sitting up here, but I was into it.
Just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the nations. Feet and his hands. One morning at daybreak, a crowd slowly gathered. They were walking my Lord up old Calvary's hill. So sad was the scene there, the birds hushed their singing, like a lamb he was humble to his Father's own will. I want to for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment nail prints in his feet and his hands. I want to thank salvation. Just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on
that great judgment morning
to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hands.
I invite you to pray. Gracious Jesus, thank you for the illustrations you give us in Scripture of men and women who fall in love with you and who are so anxious to see you that when they see you, they say, I can go in peace. Jesus, that is our privilege every day. You want to be so real to us. You are so real to us. I pray that we will see you never the same again, but that we will see you not only with open eyes, but more importantly, with an open heart, welcoming you in to live in us. And as we go out into the neighborhood in which we live, we go sharing your light, your love, your grace, and your power. Be with our moms and dads, our grandmas and grandpas. May we as a church family be closer than ever together as we spend time together and individually seeking your will for our lives. Rain your Holy Spirit upon every one of us, Jesus, so that we, like Simeon, we, like Anna, will recognize you always. In Jesus' name.